exactly know what that feels like when you look in the mirror, because I was the person that one day looked in and I was like, how in the heck did I get here? I was the one on the outside that everything looked great. Had the house, had the family, had the job, travel, but my light was dimming.
Welcome to the Mastering Mindfulness Institute with me, Gina Warfel, a podcast that invites you on a journey to self-trust with your food and body so you can reclaim your health with confidence. As a registered dietitian who has multiple degrees in health, and yet I was constantly at war with my body and couldn't trust myself with food, I've made it my mission to show you that coming into harmony with your food and body is all possible. I challenge conventional and outdated ways of dieting to show you how to step into sovereignty over your food choices and life. I can't wait to share with you the depths of my own journey, as well as thoughts from experts and real human beings on their journey, just like you. Thanks for listening.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to the Mastering Mindfulness Institute podcast. I am still podcasting today from Nicaragua, and here with so many incredible coaches and healers and having amazing conversations about transformation. And today I get to have a really amazing deep dive conversation about discovering who we really are and what that means. I'm here with Chris Redford, who is a transformational life coach. Thanks for being here, Chris.
Thanks, Gina. So excited to be here.
Yeah. So today we're talking about peeling back those layers and discovering that big question, who am I? Why do you think that we get so confused or lost on what that is? Or how do we get to that place of wondering, like, who am I? What does that mean?
It's amazing how we go through life and we get to that point and we can look in the mirror where we go and go, who am I? I don't even recognize this person. And life just takes us on this long roller coaster where we start off young, we're innocent, we have society, family, could be cultural, religious, work, so many things that add up that really take us away from who we really are. And then one day we look in and we realize we're unfulfilled, maybe we're burnt out, and we look in that mirror and we just don't know who we are. We're like, who am I? And how did I get here?
Yeah, it's a really big question, that really big question of, who am I? And so what does that feel like for someone when they get to that place in life?
They just feel they're so confused. They feel a little hopeless. They don't understand why they're this way. How did it even happen? Because it happens over small fragments over a long period of time. And then all of a sudden, they just don't recognize themselves. Mm-hmm. They might be unhappy, unfulfilled. They're burnt out. They're tired, maybe unhealthy. And everything just seems really hard, and they're just don't feel happy anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this feels like your sole passion, purpose to help people answer this bigger question. How did this come up for you? Because this is a really rare type of coaching to really ask this deep of a question and help someone sort through who they are, who they are not, and why they're missing this piece of like fulfillment. And I know a lot of my students and my clients have this point of what you're talking about, where they start questioning everything that they thought they knew about themselves. And yeah, there's something like this, there's like this spark that's missing. They're like, I know that there's more of me and I feel like I lost myself, but I don't know what that means. And it's a really unique thing to help people find that, yeah, that me. What was that journey like for you? Did you feel like you hit that point for yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super passionate because I've been there. I exactly know what that feels like when you look in the mirror, because I was the person that one day looked in and I was like, how in the heck did I get here? I was the one on the outside that everything looked great. Had the house, had the family, had the job, travel. But my light was dimming. I was very unhealthy, adrenal fatigue. I didn't enjoy my job anymore. My relationship wasn't going very well. And I just didn't have it. I could feel that spark starting to go. And as a young child, I was very excited. I loved to create, loved to build, just love life. And I always loved life. Did everything I could to get the most of it. And then slowly, I just didn't have it in me anymore. And I just think it's so sad because we are all such amazing human beings that are put on this earth to create and bring life to everybody around us. And so when our own spark goes, we're no longer allowed to and are able to contribute like that. So I just feel like everybody can get back to who they were. And I'm very passionate because I love to do a deep dive and go down into what even started all of this. Where did it go? So you can truly find who you are and live a very authentic, happy life.
I can relate to all of that a lot. Like, I remember, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, being in that place where I'm doing all the things, like I'm trying so hard to like achieve and I'm trying to do all this stuff for my health and I'm trying to build this life for myself. But then there's like this inner feeling of like, where's my prize? Why don't I have the joy? Why do I do all of these things, but yet there's like a wholeness or a fulfillment piece? And I remember probably not too long after that is when I met you and I was really asking myself a lot of questions and getting curious with like that question, why am I missing this spark inside of me and where did it go? Like I used to be happy. I used to feel playful. I used to laugh. You know, people would always tell me like, you're really bright, and people stopped telling me that. And I wondered like, where did that person go? And I started asking deeper questions. And I remember sitting down having some conversations with you and just simple things that I was like, I don't understand what I'm feeling. I don't know what this is here. And you're just like, I'm feeling fear. Does that feel right to you? And I'm like, shoot, that's exactly what it is. You know, it was like one word and you intuitively knew it. And then that gave me something deeper to chew on, like these little things of like peeling back the layers of like, what are those deeper maybe feelings that are keeping us blocked from really knowing the truth of who we are.
Right.
And so how do you start to unpack that, like that journey? What are some things that people can start looking at that confuses the truth of us or that answering that question?
Well, really look at kind of when you take a step back from yourself and imagine your family. Start with your family. What was your life bringing? You know, what was that like around the family dinner table? What was it like about school? What was it like about sports? What were the things that kind of drove you? And think about, is it, you know, your mom that was really, manners were a big thing? Or was it your dad? Hey, you need to succeed. Was it both of them? You need to go to college. What are all the things that you notice as you're growing up in your family? And those are the things that we pick up because we want to get the attention or we want to seek the love or this is what I need to do or I better not do this. And those are what we call lenses that we see through. And we might start to make decisions in our lives that drive us. That might be what starts your final, you know, you are a founder in a company because of all of those things down below. But as we build those up from other people, especially like our family, it takes us farther away from who we are because we're trying to please somebody else. So I really like to deep dive into that and kind of ask you questions and really look at the layers and the lenses that we're seeing who we are. Because once we can peel those away one by one and really get into the depth, like fear. Fear is a big one. Well, if I don't succeed, what if, right? Well, what is the what if? It could be, well, back as a younger age, if I wasn't successful, love was taken away from me or different things. So there's so many things that can contribute to the amount of fear that's built up in your system.
Yeah, I mean, maybe go into that a little bit more. Like, that's a really relatable example for, I think, a lot of people. If I'm not successful, I won't feel love from my parents.
Right.
So then you're probably driven for success out of fear and maybe not even something that you wanted or maybe just something that your family. I remember this was one thing that I've been trying to figure out for myself that, you know, my family has always been into like intense, extreme sports. And I ended up doing all of those things. I remember my sister being like, come on, let's go mountain biking. And for me growing up, I was a really scared, anxious kid. I was afraid of everything. I wasn't confident. I didn't want to do sports. I would have hated it if anyone made me do like team sports or something. And my sister being like, come on, let's go mountain biking. Come on. And I was like, no, I don't want to do it. And she's like, come on, just, you have to just do it anyways. And then her being like, come on, let's go skydiving. And I was like, I don't want to skydive. And she's like, too bad. I already signed us up. We're getting our license, you know, like. And it was, on one hand, it was really beautiful because it got me out of my shell. But then they, over time, they turned into hobbies. And then I had to go through this period where I was like, do I like any of these things that I said yes to? And it really wasn't to the fault of any of them. I just didn't know how to, like, actually know. does this feel true to me or not, or know how to like honor and say it? And I started questioning like all those things that you're talking about.
Right.
I mean, are there other ways that you think it shows up a lot for people?
Well, I mean, just to even use a quick example, let's say that you took up skydiving, right? And that's obviously a very fearful, you push past your boundary of what you want to do. You no longer, you're pushing past the trust that you build up in your body, doing something that you really don't want to do. And then you decide to go, now I'm going to open up a skydiving company. And all of your things are about skydiving.
Yeah.
And then you come to the end and you're like, I really don't want to do this anymore. And it's the most successful skydiving company out there. And you're like, I don't want to do this. This isn't what I want to do. And maybe as a child, you were more creative. You liked to draw. You wanted to do, let's say, a camp where you offered activities that were very creative. But now you're doing very intense, very ego-driven type sports, very, you know, high energy, and you'd like to be more flowy. So there's different ways that things can come about, that these lenses that you've picked up, look at those points where you made decisions because you wanted to hang out with your sister.
Yeah.
You just wanted to be with her and do stuff with her.
Totally.
You know, maybe if it had been a different sport, or maybe it had been something that you wanted, you know, it would be a different route for you. But those were the things where you kind of push past what you wanted to do.
Yep.
In order to either spend time, care, show, love. Yeah.
I would bet that a lot of what you're describing, people have these big awarenesses probably around their careers, like you said, with skydiving, and just as one example. I see that a lot with my students who, when they start asking deeper questions, a big one that comes up is careers. Like, do you see that a lot?
Yeah, actually, I was working with one client of mine. They had just left a job because they didn't want to work there anymore, a very high level, C-level suite type position. And they were out interviewing and looking at companies, and they knew that they didn't want to do what they were doing before, but they had no idea where they wanted to go and what that looked like. So what I did was I helped them kind of like peel back the layers of why were they even driven to do what they did before. And it actually took us back to a time in their childhood where they were seeking the attention of their mother, and really that mother relationship and that drive of being seen and being thought with value, and really implemented something where they were looked at as a value and bringing something to the family. And that driving force drove them to this type of position. They realized that they didn't want to bring that type of energy in. And so when we distilled that down and really worked with her inner child and working with how to treat that, what did it mean, then we could show up and go, okay, now that you aren't seeking outside validation or value from your mom, what kind of validation or value can you give to yourself? And what do you look like when you show up for these interviews? And working with that process of like, how does it you want to feel when you walk into the room? How do you want to feel when you get interviewed and the questions that you get asked? What is it that you want to bring to the table that way?
Wow, that sounds, feels very empowering.
Yes,
So I do want to rewind a little bit and like go back to, we talked about where you hit that breaking point in your life where you're like, who am I? I don't even know who I am anymore. How did you start to move through that experience? What was that like?
Well, one of the things that I actually was trying to do research of like, what is this like? What are the types of things out there? And I heard people were talking about, I'm still in this process 7-10 years later. And I was like, there's too much life to live. I'm not going to let this define me. So first of all, I had to make that decision. And when I made that decision, that was what drove me for the next step. So I sought out, traditional therapy, worked with somebody helping with that. And then I went more to plant-based substance therapy, you know, where you do work with people and you really start to learn to get in your heart space. Let the walls
down. Explain
that.
What does that mean? Okay. What's your heart space?
Our heart space is when, you know, as we grow up, we're very emotional beings. We love, we want to share with others. And as we get hurt over time, our heart space, our heart, our emotions get walled up. You know, little brick by little brick by little brick, and to the point where we are no longer living out of our heart space. We're living more in our head space, and our heads are running the decisions because it's safer that way. Our mind is there to protect us, to keep us from feeling and getting hurt again. And a lot of these are built, these bricks are built at a very young age. So what the plant-based substances would do and is they would allow you to kind of relax and get more into that emotional heart space. So you're not thinking with judgment. You're not worried about what are you going to say, what's around you, and you can really start to feel, because feeling is where we get to those different ways to see where we need to heal, that go, oh yeah, I remember how I felt like this when my mom yelled at me, or right. different things. And that allows us to find the stories. I also joined, did Sangha, which is non-plant-based, which allows you to go deep and find the root point where you made a decision to act different than you used to. For mm-hmm. instance, like an example would be as a child, somebody takes your toy away, your dad yells at you for crying, and you go, I'm never going to cry again because crying is bad. So the rest of your life, you try not to cry. You try to be very strong, and you see crying as weak, and you just keep building up to the point of like you can no longer cry anymore. So you're emotionally almost like walled in, damned. So mm-hmm. I kind of dove deep into what were some of my childhood things. Why did I have those walls built up? I don't want the walls anymore. I want to show up authentically as me. And that's kind of where I did the deep dive.
Wow. So that was kind of like your training started pulling back mm-hmm. all the layers. And then so from what you've learned, what pieces do you now bring into your work and the way that you guide people into answering these kind of questions?
So I'm certified as a Sangha practitioner. I've been doing it over 3 years. I'm also a facilitator in plant-based substances. I've been in the work over 6 years. So I've really dialed in the techniques and working with people. And then with my program of Who Am I, it actually goes step by step to really dive deep. We start with just lenses. Then we go deeper into feelings and emotions and walls and inner child work. And we really clear out anything that's in there that's blocking us. And then from there, we go and try to build ourselves back up to find out who is your truth. Like, what is my truth? Now that I've peeled back all these onions and layers and lenses, we can find out who we are and really dive into that and discover who you are. So now you can go and discover who do you want to be? Like, what... If you could have it all, what would that look like? Because I believe you can have it all.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what you want and you know who you are, you can have it all because you can define it. And all of us can have what we want, but we don't know what that is until we peel back all the different parts of ourselves that aren't us, develop who we are and find the truth in who we are. And then we can manifest and start working towards, you know, what we truly want.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah. What does that look like? Does it usually look like career?
It could be career. It could be a new path, a new career. It could be health. We peel back some of the things that we carry. Sometimes we carry some stuff that's not even ours. It could be ancestrals. It could be our mothers. It could be thoughts about our body. And so health is definitely a part of it. It might be career change. It might be just the way you show up in your family and your social situations, and really kind of helps you create and define what you want in the future.
Mm-hmm. When people are starting to like resonate with that and they're like, yeah, I feel like I've lost that, like that, who am I and that spark, what are some things that you think that they can start doing to explore this question?
I would just kind of really take time, get a journal and just take some time to yourself and really sit with thinking about who you were as a child. When was a time that you last remember where you felt joy and happiness? And what did that child look like? Did they play a lot? Were they in the woods? Did they color? Did they sing? And just really start looking back at the youngest memory that you can of where you felt the happiest, free, fulfilled, and really just start writing down who that child was. So you have the ability to reintegrate that young child with your current self and just build that connection.
Can you explain that more? Because I think you're so used to talking about reintegrating the younger child, the present day self. What does that mean? What is inner child work? Why do we want to connect? Because a lot of people will also say like, that was in the past. I don't need to revisit that anymore.
True.
I don't need to go back to younger me. Where does that all come into play to today?
Why it's so important is it's a part of us. And when there's a part of us that's no longer, maybe it's disowned or it's hurt or it hasn't been seen or heard, it will continue to keep coming up in different ways throughout our life.
Can you give an example?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, an example would be if there's a frustration that comes up quite a bit as an adult where you're, you know, in a meeting and somebody says something and you get really fired up about it for whatever reason. And you're like, they're just an employee talking about something. But it triggers you to the point where you're not acting like you normally would based on that situation. That could be something from an inner child, where as a young kid, maybe your mom or dad didn't ever listen to you. They just made you go to your room, and so you never were seen and heard, or something, the way that they talked, the tone, different things that would cause you to be very upset, but you weren't allowed to express any of those things. That builds up, and we create these patterns that we don't understand why, as adults, we're acting a certain way, because it doesn't match the situation. So that little child needs to be seen and heard. And the reason why we go back is once they feel like some attention was given to them, some love, whatever it is that they needed, and they get to speak from their voice, their time period, then they they're no longer coming out throughout the rest of our lives. And we're able to incorporate that back into ourselves. So now we're all, you know, brings us back into wholeness.
So you're, like, upgrading their belief systems, or, like, what they yes. learned as a child.
Exactly. Exactly.
I see what you're saying a lot. I'm thinking about, like, a few of my students who, as they want to start, a lot of time they will want to, like, change their health, or they want to start taking more time for themselves. But what they notice is, like, when they were kids, they had to, like, self-sacrifice, or they had to take care of their parents, or they learned that taking care of themselves is selfish.
Right.
And now they cannot make the time for themselves because they're bumping up against those childhood belief systems. So is that what you're saying, is you can take a look at those friction points and you're kind of upgrading the belief system?
Absolutely.
That's there.
Yeah, that's a really good way to say it. And that's so true, because so many times as young children, they've had to take care of parents. They weren't first. And so when that inner child, that young boy or girl, gets the attention and gets to be first and gets taken care of, not before the parent, then they no longer are seeking that, and or they are able to be able to feel loved and complete. So when it's their turn, they get to choose themselves first, and it's not selfish. Yeah.
So let's say you navigate and you find these friction points. That's kind of right. What's coming to mind for me. Is right. That what you say it is? Like you're finding these places of friction in your life of, like, what maybe is not serving you with your work or your relationships or the way your health, wherever it is. And then you're finding out what it is for you. You could probably explain this a lot better than I am. But, like, what is life like on the other side when you do start getting clear? I'm like, wait a second, that came from my mom. That came from my dad. That came from my teacher. That came from somebody else. Or how do you find that truth, and what is it like when you do?
Oh, my goodness. So it's so freeing to be able to show up and be like, gosh, like, sometimes it's heavy. Maybe it's your mom. My example was my mom. It was very heavy. She was very, she had a lot of sadness and different things that I didn't realize I had taken on as a young child to make her feel happier. And it's a very heavy to keep pulling that through. So as you get rid of those lenses, as you get rid of that friction, you feel a lot lighter. And then you can actually make decisions. You're able to be more focused. You have a lot more energy to do and choose the things that you want. You are able to kind of, like, really define. Maybe you grew up, let's say, bicycling, like you said, as an example. And you actually would rather be roller skating or dancing. And if you're no longer biking because that was something you realized it really wasn't your thing, imagine how much time you would have to go dancing.
Yeah.
The freedom, you know, you could choose whatever type of dancing you want. You could spend your time doing that. Getting exercise while doing something that you love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it seems like we should all have this at some point in our lives, like this assessment of, am I living the life the way I want to live it? And if not, what do I need to do?
Right.
To make sure that I am right with myself, in alignment with myself.
Right.
It seems like we all need this. This assessment, like, why did we not grow up knowing this about ourselves? Like, what is true to me and for me?
Well, what's beautiful is that I think that we're changing. in the world that we grew up in, it was very dynamic where the parents made the decisions for you. Society made the decisions, cultural decisions. Now we're more open to allowing the children to be in the conversation, to allow them to show emotion. So our the younger selves, you know, our children are able to come up a different way. But for us, we have to learn this now. And the beauty about it is the ripple effect that we can do up and down all around us to help people realize that there's something out there that they can look at and that we all need to be truly who we are, show up to this world.
And then they can do that for their kids.
Exactly.
Wow, yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. Is there anything that you really want people to know or that you would want to leave people with?
I think it's really exciting to know that even if at some point you're like, I feel okay the way I am, there's always something to kind of look at to really change the way you see the world. There's always something as a child or something that we can kind of focus on that really might free our bandwidth, I call it, so that we can be even more authentically like ourselves. And when we show up in the world as who we are, we know who we are, it's such a beautiful place. There's no judgment on ourselves. We show up the way that everybody, the way that we want everybody to see us, not the way we expect people to see us.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think you're doing incredible work in the world that everyone really needs.
Thank you.
Is there any way that people can find you, keep learning from you?
Sure. Yeah. Actually, my website, TLC, Transforming Lives, on there, you can see I do private retreats. So we could do a deep dive over a weekend, get a lot of work done. Yeah. We can do monthly. I do a 12-month program where we do a deep dive. We combine all of the modalities that I talked about to really help you. And then along with that, life coach too. So we can kind of coach you along the way.
Yeah. And you are truly a badass coach. I have done some work with you. You've helped me shift my brain, shift my thinking, and it's been so incredible and transformational. So
thank you
so much for sharing your wisdom.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. It was wonderful.
Yeah, we'll put all the links down in the show notes, and feel free to reach out to Chris if you want to keep going deeper into your own journey. And you guys, I hope you loved this conversation today. If it did, feel free to leave us some comments on what you thought of it, and we will catch you guys in the next episode.
Thanks, Gina. It was wonderful.